Love that kid. Okay, I'm coming down here. I'll put the hay out where the cattle can get it. Alright. How y'all doing? Ooh. The passage that Ryan read to us this evening, I think there is a direct connection to our original text that we preached from this morning. If you will, would you just go back to Acts chapter 3 and let's just refresh our minds and our memories on what Peter was talking to the Jews about. We talked about two things. If you look at Acts chapter 3 and come in there when he tells the people about repenting at verse 19 of Acts 3, it says, "Repent therefore and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, so that, even the word so is not there, but so that, says, your sins may be blotted out." In other words, so that you might be saved. And then he says, so that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. We talk about the change that takes place after one gives their life over to Jesus, is saved, added to the church, you enter the kingdom, and those times of refreshing are reinforced by the very presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. No one else but a Christian can have the Holy Spirit. You're not a Christian, and you want the Holy Spirit, then you must repent, you must be saved. So he said, "Repent therefore, turn again, so that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." We cited James 1 and 17, the fact that all good and perfect gifts come from God, from heaven, from the Father of lights. In other words, God wouldn't give us something that would not be good for us. And then, what I'm going to preach on this evening is the verse, and it will come just shortly after I finish, verse 20, says that this times of refreshing, this time of renewal, this time of learning to breathe in a different way, breathing in the Spirit, breathing to have life. And then he says, "And that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus." Then verse 21, "whom heaven must receive until the time," you may have the word time, but I think until the season or that period of time, it says, "for the restoration of all things." It says, "about which God spoke by the mouth of the holy prophets long ago." And of course, he spoke about Elijah coming back. And if you will, go over to Matthew chapter 17. This is the passage of Scripture that addresses when they're up on this mountain, the mountain of Transfiguration, and things are going on that create some questions in the mind of his disciples. They ask Jesus some questions when they see Moses, they see the prophet Elijah, and of course they see Jesus. And of course Peter, the one we always expect to open his mouth and put his foot in it, is the one who suggests, you know, it's really great for us to be here and to see this, you know, wouldn't it be great, you know, to sort of, let's build three little tabernacles, three little booths, three little worship places, little shrine. One for Moses, because Moses represents the law, which is near and dear to the heart of all Jews. And then Elijah is the one who represents all the prophets. And then there's Jesus. And so they're up on this, and this is you know, it sounds like a good idea. And so come on in at verse 4 of Matthew 17, he says, Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And then he was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and there was a voice. This is the same voice, but with some extra words. The same voice that comes from heaven when Jesus is baptized and the Holy Spirit descends on Jesus in the shape of a dove. God says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Except there's a little bit more to this second occasion when God speaks. So there's this cloud that envelops them, and he says, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. It's his time. It's his moment. Very similar to in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son. In other words, in times past, God has spoken to us by the patriarch, Moses, you name it, all the way through all of the prophets, including people like Elijah. But now, in these last days, he speaks to us of his Son. So, this last person has the final word. And so he says, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Or, I think in the King James, it's hear ye him. And when the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. Now, you know, when you read that in the scripture, boy, that must have hurt. To have fallen on your face. In other words, as they went forward, they didn't want to look. Because any time a Jew heard God speaking, it was something that they wanted. No man can see God and live. The idea, remember Moses up in the mountain, he wanted to see God up close and personal. And he got as close as any man could without being turned into a crispy critter. And when he came down off that mountain, his face shone. It was very brilliant, and the people were scared of that. But it wasn't until Jesus Christ comes in cased in human flesh that man could look at God and live. Now, so Jesus came and touched them. Arise and have no fear. Don't be afraid. He says, and when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. So no Elijah, David, no Moses. Gone. It's sort of like God is making an important point. There was a time for Moses to speak. And they listened to him. And there was a time for prophets to speak, and they listen to them. But now it is the time for Jesus to speak. All power and authority resided in the very person of Jesus Christ. You will find that at the end of the Gospel of Matthew. So when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And so as they were coming down, this must have sparked off a little, you know, these guys knew their Torah. These guys knew their scriptures. They weren't experts, but they had the benefit of the greatest teacher of all time, and that is Jesus Christ. If you will recall, any time that Jesus is around, he opens to them the scriptures, and he uses the law, the prophets, and the holy writings to speak about who he is. So these men have been instructed well, but they still have questions because they have not yet had the benefit of the coming of the Holy Spirit that was promised to them, in that the Comforter would come. In fact, Jesus said, I'm going away and he will come. And then in another same chapter, he says, and I will come back to you. And the Holy Spirit will not speak of himself, but will speak of what he knows about me. And he will cause you to remember everything that I have taught you. Wouldn't it be marvelous to have that kind of a ability? You know, you hear of people having photographic memory. Well, I'm afraid I'm running out of toner. And I know Ralph has run out of toner a long time ago. So, as they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them. He says, Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. Keep that, you know, under your outer garment. Well, under your little skull cap. Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. And the disciples asked him, okay, but can we ask you this? This is what they said. Then why do the scribes say that first Elijah must come? So they're thinking, since we saw Elijah, I mean, how did this work out? Was Moses wearing a hello tag? Was Elijah Keith wearing a hello tag? Or did they figure out themselves? Did God somehow reveal this to them? Moses, Elijah, they didn't need a hello tag for Jesus because they had spent 3.5 years with him. So, then why do the scribes say that first Elijah must come and that Elijah must come? And Jesus said, he answered, Elijah does come. And he will restore all things. Now, isn't that an interesting little phrase that comes up there, but also comes up in Acts chapter 3? After people repent so that their sins, and after from repentance, then their sins will be blotted out, and that this will come from the Lord. One, that there would be followed a times of refreshing. Certainly in the big way, we're talking about the major gifts of the Holy Spirit that fell on all flesh at that particular time. There were signs, there were wonders, all kinds of things were taking place. But I still believe that we can experience times of refreshing as long as we walk in the Holy Spirit. Not in the major way, not in acquiring gifts that were miraculous, but the fact is that the Holy Spirit lives in us by faith, that when we're baptized, we receive the Holy Spirit. It is God's guarantee of what is yet to come. And what is yet to come is covered in that verse 21 of Acts chapter 3, that there would be a time for the restoration of all things. Do you recall in Acts chapter 1, here they are in the upper room, and Jesus appears, you know, comes down from heaven, and they want to ask the big question, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? I mean, they've been with Jesus for 3.5 years. They've heard him talk about him being the Savior of the world. Samaritans had a better understanding. The people who came down from the village where the woman at the well lived, and they had a better understanding after having Jesus in their midst for 3 or 4 days. They understood that Jesus wasn't just Savior of Jews, that he was the Savior of the entire world. But here, the conversation turns towards Elijah, and the question is, he said, Elijah does come, and he will restore all things. And so are we talking about the same Elijah that they saw on Mount Transfiguration, or are we talking about the spirit of Elijah that was living and came in one special person? Now, he says, but I tell you that Elijah has already come, and they didn't recognize him. They didn't know who it was. And did to him whatever they pleased, and so also the Son of Man will certainly suffer at their hands, the same kind of hands. It says, then the disciples understood that Jesus was speaking to them of John the Baptist. And so John the Baptist shows up to set in motion the restoration of all things, to set in motion the things that would be set or take place in order for the ultimate restoration of all things. Okay, now, am I cooking with gas? Okay, I am glad I am cooking with gas. Okay, now I want you to turn to Romans 8. Romans 8 is interesting. Is Robert Wooden here tonight? Okay. You know, Paul says classically in Romans 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Those are, we speak of those who Peter is talking to the same way in Acts chapter 3, the same way in Acts chapter 2. We put all those things together and we come up about the, yes, Robert, you're here. Good man. We're going to do something tonight, aren't we? All right. Robert came up to me this morning and he says, Gordon, I want to be saved. I want you to baptize me tonight. So listen, we got a leaky baptistry, but we are running water in there like there's no business. So I'm going to stop pretty soon, probably finish this up next week, and then we're going to get you in that baptistry before it runs out. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Those are people who have repented, who have come to God through Jesus Christ to have their sins blotted away, blotted out, wiped away, clean. And of course that all, you collapse that down or you expand it, and it talks about you have to believe, you have to see the need for repentance. You have to see the need to confess Jesus, to acknowledge him to be Lord, Master, and Savior. And then to be baptized for the remission of your sins. You receive that Holy Spirit. This is God's guarantee. Don't you like stuff when you get a guarantee? You know? I love those things. There's a guarantee comes with it, and God has given us his Holy Spirit as a down payment, as the guarantee of what is yet to come. And what is yet to come is explained Romans 8, verses 19. Let's just run through that. He talks about the suffering that goes on, suffering of Christians, the suffering of everyone else who lives on this planet Earth. One of the things that I think is beautiful about the restoration of all things, in the book of Revelation, it talks about there will come a time when there will be no more death, no more dying, no more sickness, no more crying, no more bad memory. Wayne, you and I will get perfect body. I mean, not that we're not perfect now, but we get the new improved model. And so we do not yet know what we shall be like, but when we see him, that is Jesus, we shall be like him. The corruptible part of us becomes the incorruptible. And that is moving towards that verse 21, the realization of the restoration, the restitution of all things, the bringing back something that we lost when man sinned. You know, we talk about paradise that man had with God in Eden. When man sinned, he lost the right to live there. He lost the right to enjoy constant and eternal fellowship with God. He was expelled from that. And so what you have in the book of Revelation is the paradise that was lost becomes the paradise that we now regain. The restoration of all things. God putting everything back in its proper place. But we're not going to move, you know, we're not just going to live on earth. We're not going to live on earth because 2 Peter 3 says it's going to be gone. It's going to be turned in. We're all, you know, this earth is going to melt with fervent heat. So we're not coming back here. Well, we have to think about our spiritual, our eternal destiny, our spiritual home, the home of righteousness. Now, the creation waits, I'm in verse 19, with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. Why are they waiting for the revealing of the sons of God? Because we are waiting for that completion to take place, where the world will know those who belong to Jesus, those who are his. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. It was God's hope. You know, God does not want anyone to be lost. He wants all men to be saved. That's God's ideal. He would like everybody to be saved. But the fact is, will everybody want to be saved? The answer is no. Because God gave man choice, a will. And God wants us to freely choose him. And so it's like Joshua saying, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We've made a choice. Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, chapter 2, book of Acts. He gave man the choice, either receive him or reject him. That's the only two choices you've got. Receive the Lord or reject the Lord. So that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit. That's a direct reference to what happened on the day of Pentecost. First fruits of the Spirit. We are the beneficiaries of the first fruits of the Spirit. We carry the Holy Spirit that was made available to every believer that was baptized that day. continues to be baptized from this moment on till now. And so he says, and not only the creation, but we ourselves who are the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons. Now, adoption is part of the restoration of all things. What's different? What is different about us now, and what will be different about us then? We have to carry lug around this stuff. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I get sick and tired of having to lug it around. It's subject to all kinds of weaknesses and suffering. But when the restoration of all things takes place, that's done away with. I'm looking forward to that day. Amen? So he says, we groan inwardly as we eagerly wait for adoption of sons, the redemption of our body. There are several words I want to throw out at you, and we'll leave it there. The redemption of our bodies. Our souls have been redeemed. But the redemption of our bodies, the adoption of ourselves as sons, hasn't quite been perfected yet. We're in process, Chris. We are an ongoing work, and it will be completed fully when Jesus returns. And so he says, we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies, for in this hope we were saved. In this hope, we had our sins blotted out. There's your Acts 3:20-21. And from the day we became Christians, a time of refreshing began to take hold. And we grow the fruit of the Spirit as proof of that. We become more and more aware of that the more and more we become spiritually like Jesus. We are to grow up into Him in all things. Ephesians 4:15. Like growing up into Christ, growing up into God, the more we grow up, the less we will be worldly and carnal, and the more we will be spiritual and godly. He says, for in this hope we were saved. Now, hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? For if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. And what we're waiting for in patience is the restoration of all things. Next week, I'll finish all those thoughts and put them all together for us. Book of Revelation is fantastic about that. Jesus must reign until the restoration of all things. You have to read 1 Corinthians 15. Start reading at verse 25 and verse 24. He will reign until the last enemy has been destroyed. And that's when he hands over the kingdom back to God. The restoration of all things will be complete. God doing the big reset. I'm looking forward to reset. How about you? If you're not a Christian, Robert, if you want to come on down here, I'll take your confession. You believe that Jesus Christ, you know, some people get really start sweating bullets when they hear the word confession. It's basically, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the Living God? And then we will go quickly before the water disappears, and we will baptize Robert into Christ for the remission of his sin. And also those who haven't had the opportunity for communion, that will be made available
Robert was in a car wreck, and he says this wasn't going to prevent him from being saved. Robert, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God? Hey, that's great. You know, the devil shudders every time he hears somebody say that. And we're going to take you back there. We're going to get dressed. We're going to get you into the water. We're going to baptize you into Christ Jesus for the remission of your sins. And you too shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what makes the difference. That's why there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So while we sing the invitation hymn, let you and I go back there and get ourselves ready.
Number 978.